are getting ready. We'll just give you a couple more minutes. Okay, so on the night that Jesus was betrayed, you know, he was sitting at the table and he had bread and wine with his disciples. And he gave an example of the bread being his body and the wine being his blood. And he said to remember him and remember what he did. And so the Apostle Paul, of course, in Corinthians, also 1 Corinthians, it talks about this as well. And so on that night that he was betrayed, you got to remember that Judas was sitting there at the table conspiring against him. And so the whole idea about the table and how effective this is for healing is, and why we need to take it is that Paul emphasized that they weren't taking it worthily. And he said because of that, people were dying early and they were sick. He says that because they didn't discern the Lord's body. And so Judas drank and ate unworthily at the table. That's how this all started. And because he did that, it says Satan entered into him at that moment when Jesus gave him the bread and dipped it in. And that's the whole idea, is that we need to observe what the Lord did for us together, and we have to discern that decisions that we make affect all of us. And that's the whole idea of this, is that Judas actually compromised the whole team. Do you get that? And that's what Paul was saying, is that we didn't discern the Lord's body, which is a twofold thing. It's the Lord's body and what it really means, as well as the Lord's body, which is us. And if you don't discern the Lord's body, you can drink and eat of it unworthily. So we observe the wafers at the top. There's a YouTube video if you can't get it open. No, I'm just kidding. I just had to say, because I am convinced that one time somebody super glued mine shut as a joke. So there was nothing left of it when I finally got it open. Okay. So this represents the Lord's body. And when we partake of his body, Jesus said, you are worthy of me. And it says that you cannot be a part of me unless you eat my flesh. And of course, drink his blood. What he was saying was that when he was raised from the dead, he took captivity captive, and he took up with him. We were raised with him, and he distributed gifts among men. And that caused us to be one in the Spirit. With the gifts being distributed, we became one and unified. And the Spirit was distributed. And so when we eat of this, we're essentially all partaking of the Lord's body at the same time. And we're acknowledging the body of Christ and not just ourselves. So this represents healing to me. It really does to me. So let's take of it right now. And this is his body that was broken for us. Okay, and also the wine, which is grape juice here, is essentially for the forgiveness of sins. And so the Lord asks me every time that I do this is to tell people to let it drop any offense. Anything that has happened to you, just let it drop and forgive, because then you will be forgiven. And that's what the Lord has asked me to do, is to drink worthily. You have to forgive. And then when you take this in, you're forgiven as well. It's a symbol. But something really happens. It's just like when you were baptized. When I got baptized in water, I mean, something happened. I can't figure it out. I've seen miracles in baptisms. And so there is something to this. So forgive right now. Just let it drop, any offense, and drink. I forgive, Lord. I forgive. Amen. Wow. something very powerful about this I can't explain, which is really good. It's really good for you not to be able to explain something. It's good for you. Okay, tonight, real short message for me, and then I'm going to call some people up to share. They don't know it, so pray for them right now. I purposely don't tell people so that they actually have to depend upon a spirit. Imagine that. Except my friend Abby, I had to warn her because I have an agreement with her that I have to give her like 15 minutes advance notice. All right. What I want to talk to you about, it's actually, I believe it's the last chapter in your study guide, but you don't have to turn there because I'm just going to read this to you. And it's so important because of what has happened in my life by praying this prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. It's in chapter 1, verse 17. But I'm going to start with verse 15 through 23. Now, what I do is this is what I pray every day. I pray this prayer for myself every day. I pray this for people that the Lord has told me that need help. So it opens eyes. It opens spiritual eyes for people if you pray this prayer. And I'm telling you, you'll see a change in them by praying this prayer for them. And this is what I do. I actually just literally go through scriptures from John 14 through 17. I pray all those. I pray 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's all I pray. And I pray this. And I go through Ephesians. I go through Hebrews. And I pray all those. And that's my prayer time in English. The rest of it is in the Spirit. And so if you want to know if there is no secret, but I'm just telling you that's my secret, is I just pray the scriptures because I know I'm going to get that. And what that is that's my training wheels. My training wheels for prayer to train me to pray correctly is praying scripture so that I don't pray amiss. And then when I pray in the Spirit, I'm hooking up my spirit with my tongue. I hook up my spiritual part of me with my tongue. What happens is I don't talk very much anymore. As I become more spiritual, I don't talk, I listen. But it's funny, it's like even one of my staff members this morning got on the elevator and started prophesying to him. I didn't know what I was saying, but it was right on the button, of course. This happens with my staff during the week. I'll call them and say, "Lord just told me this." And they're like, "There's no way you could have known that." This is because you hook yourself up to the Spirit by praying in the Spirit. You hook yourself up, your tongue up, and then you pray scriptures. And then you just go about your day. You don't wait for God to speak to you. You just go about your day. And all of a sudden, at the proper time, the operation of the Spirit will start to come forth. I don't sit around and wait for God to speak to me. Because then that's when familiar spirits come in. And that's what happens to lazy ministers. I don't have any more friends left anyway, so he's like, but that's what happens to all of us when we get lazy. We start to hear other things, and we think that that's God. And I'm telling you, you'll get the last four digits of a social security number. You'll get addresses. What does that have to do with their life? I've watched ministers say there's a $100 bill. It's this serial number, and God says, "You're supposed to give it to me." The guy pulls out his wallet, and there's that $100 bill with that serial number. And the guy gives it to him. I said, "No." So why would I want you to call me out and make my social security number known on YouTube? Well, I don't think God would want that either. And I know where I live. I don't need my address. We've had demons say, "Well, I know your mother's name." Well, I go, "Well, I know my mother's name." See, all these demons want to be prophets too, you know. I'm poking you, but it's because I love you. The bottom line is that you don't sit and require God to talk to you after you've talked to him. Because I'm telling you, if God doesn't talk to you, it's very good. If he doesn't say anything, he's saying something. Listen, you don't know, but I just saved your life. Because you might marry the wrong person. Listen, you're going to listen to me or you're going to learn the hard way. You are not going to sit and wait for God to speak to you after you pray. You're going to pray and then you're going to walk away and you're going to go to work and you're going to go about your business. And on your way, God is going to speak to you. It's going to come up from here. It's not going to be here. It's going to come up in here. And you're going to know it. Why? Because you're not focused on it. Those evil spirits are trying to deceive people right now. That's what they do, okay? Oh, anyway, this, I feel like you guys kind of like me now. I got to tell you this. Well, listen, man, yeah, I thank you, but I am telling you. The word of the Lord will come to you because the spirit realm is open to you. But he's gonna speak to you when you're not thinking about it. He's going to speak to you from spirit to spirit. I'll stand here all night and stare at you until you receive this. You've got to hear me. Familiar spirits are operating in the body of Christ. It shouldn't be happening. Derek Prince called it a Christian seance. You know, if I had kids, I have you, but if I had kids, if one of them says, you know, I think I'm a girl and, you know, and he's a guy, I'm going to say, you know, you're not, you're a guy. Anything else? Do the dishes. If my daughter comes and says, you know, I think I want to get married to this guy, it's like, no, you're not. Anything else? If he can't talk to me, and when he comes, I'm going to be cleaning my guns, you know. I have my 50 caliber laying out on the table. And the bottom line is that all of us, when we were young, we wished that we would have listened. We wished that we would have had strong people in our lives. We wished that we would have understood what we understand now. By the scars we have, you know, and all the mistakes that we've made, I have seen really good people hear the wrong voice. And it's happened to me too. And I'm done with that. I'm done with trying to do anything. I'd rather just be nonprofit. The gifts of the Spirit that are inside of you, they want to minister to people. We need to stay involved with what the ministry of the Spirit's doing with the body. Forget about nations and leaders and all this junk that's going on. Because that is so unpredictable. Because that is the God of this world. All right, I'll do that, Lord. One time I took a whole bunch of money and the Lord told me to invest in a stock. So I did. I made an 8-fold return in just 24 hours. And I thought, you know what? It's just going to keep going up. And the Lord said, sell it. And I said, yeah, but it's going to go up more. I lost it all. It went back down to zero. I bought it for 34 cents. It went up to a couple dollars. And I was like rich for 24 hours until I got greedy. See, I could hear God tell me to buy, but I didn't want to hear sell. Look at you all. See how this goes over? All right, Paul prayed this. The spirit realm will open and your eyes will be open with this prayer. In verse 15 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, it says, because of this, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your tender love toward all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you constantly. And I remember you in my prayers. Okay, here it is, verse 17. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. So you pray this for yourself. You pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. You pray that the power of God would enlighten you and explode with revelation in your spirit, and that you would know the hope to which you've been called. He says, I pray that that light of God will illuminate your eyes of your imagination. Can you imagine that? Yes, I can. I have my eyes illuminated. It's flooding. It's a flooding, blinding light is what it says here. It floods you with light until you experience the revelation. So if it's flooding you with light, and it keeps flooding you with light until you experience full revelation of the hope of his calling. So I have a hope of the calling that has been given to me. There's a hope. That means that it may not be fulfilled, but I'm participating in the progress of it. So there's a hope. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. And so I have an inheritance that's in me, and I need that light to flood my eyes so that they're open and I can see hope of my calling and the inheritance that has been given to me that's in the saints. Okay, so I have an inheritance in the saints that's been given to me already, and I have a hope. The flooding of the light causes me to know that hope and to know the inheritance that I've been given in the saints, okay? This is very important because this is how you mature, and this is how you become very accurate. I pray that you would continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power that's made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of his immense power as it works through you. So you're an advertisement of God's power everywhere you go. This is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. If you look in the book of Acts, that is where all the witchcraft was. That's the place where they turned in all their spell books. And I don't know if you understand all that, but if a witch repents and gives up their spell book, that is essentially what an evil spirit gives each person who's a witch or a warlock, gives them special words and incantations in order to work with that particular familiar spirit. So it's keywords and things that will bring that spirit there, and that's how they receive their power. No one has ever told me this. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ told me. But I've seen this. So every evil spirit does this. So if a witch or a warlock hands that book over, what they're really saying is once that they burn them, if you do that, then you've lost all the code words for that spirit that you're working with. And you're essentially walking away. You'd have to start all over again, not that you would want to. Now, what I'm telling you is real because, you know, on one side of me at Rhema was a student that never talked to me, and on the other side was one that talked to me very rarely. And I could name who they are. And Max, on the one side, he ended up going to Romania and building a Bible school, Rhema Bible School in Romania. He couldn't get into the country, so the Lord told him just to sit outside the border. And an angel came up to him and said, I'm going to open the gate. You go in, you go to the right, and you keep going. You never look back. In 17 miles, you're going to make a left, and that's the property. So that angel goes and opens the gate, and the guards are completely frozen and paralyzed. And that was many years ago, and he's still there. So my friend on the other side, Norm, walked into a church in Seattle because the Lord assigned us to that church, and Norm's there. He's the head usher. I go, Norm. He goes, hey, Max is coming. He's in Romania. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. So now I got both of my friends from each side. They weren't really friends. They didn't talk. But, I mean, they were. So Norm says, hey, we're going over there. I go, we are? He says, yeah, they need us to teach in a school. And I'm going to teach on prayer. He said, so you can go there and teach on whatever you want. And so I end up not being able to go because my job was Southwest Airlines and everything. But Norm went over there, and this is what he said. He came back, and he goes, oh, my gosh. He said, I went to teach these ladies how to pray. And he said, they taught me how to pray. I was so embarrassed. Okay, so this is what he told me. He said, over there, they have signs that say that the witches are not allowed to fly below the electric lines. And witches are flying through the air on brooms. And so those ladies have to pray against those witches. But they have signs. And I saw pictures of brooms that are just like they park their brooms, they put them up against. I know you're laughing, but I'm not. And so he said it's so intense that those ladies learn how to pray without going to Rhema. And you're fasting today because your hair dryer broke this morning. I'm just kidding. These people over there in Romania, that's where Count Dracula was, you know, all that, you know. The castles and, you know, vampires and stuff like that. That's where this all started, you know. All of us need to pray these prayers. And what's going to happen is God's going to step it up. He's going to step up the game. And witches are going to repent. And warlocks are going to repent. I mean, I've been watching on Facebook the witches that are repenting and becoming Christians. I can name them. I have people that I want to meet. I pray for them every single day. I don't miss a day. Every now and then I see somebody who says, I was a witch, I repented. Everybody's unfriended me now, but I'm standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, I can name you their names. Okay, so in the book of Acts, what would cause the strongholds to be broken down so that people would come and hand in their spell books? Paul's praying for the Ephesians here. The Apostle Paul was praying for them and prayed that prayer to the Ephesians. And he said, I pray for you. All right? Well, didn't Jesus in chapter 17 pray for everyone that would believe? Right? It says that he's going to pray for the disciples, then all those who would believe after us. So if Jesus prayed for you, don't you think you're going to get what he prayed for? So I would want to know what he prayed for you. So I want you to take this home tonight with you, is that the Lord asked the Father on our behalf to show us the love that he has for us. Jesus said, you love them just like you love me. I mean, think of that. So that's the truth, right? And Jesus prayed that. He didn't pray that we would experience the love, because he said that you already love them just like you love me. So he was informing them of that love. But he did say that they would know that love. But he also said unity. He said, me and you are in unity. Father, let them share in the same unity that me and you share with. Okay, he prayed that for all of us. And this is the big one. And this is where we're at right now. We're on this, just on the edge of this. Just not the preaching and teaching and the school part, but the music too. We're right on the edge of it, going into the glory. Jesus said the same glory that me and you shared. And in Aramaic, it says, before we lit up the universes. He said, let them share in the same glory as me and you shared from the beginning of time. Okay, so I know that if Jesus prayed this for us, that we got it. Okay, so we have the love, we have the unity, and we have the glory. Okay, if this is true, which it is, then that should be your point where you are focused on, is the love, the unity, and the glory. These are the only three things that you have to focus on, you know, besides the kingdom of God, which is what we're preaching. But as far as individual believers, all of us have been provided for so that we can experience the glory, the love, and the unity of the Trinity. So if you measure up what I just said there with how churches preach and what churches believe, you would realize why you find yourself being squeezed out of most organizations. Because if you start talking about participating in a divine nature, like I said the first night, which was last night, if you start talking about being part of the family where you're a child of God and you have an inheritance, and that the same inheritance that Jesus received, that we're co-laborers, but we're also co-inherit what Jesus got, we get, which is what the scripture says. Greek, Hebrew, homebrew. Doesn't matter. Whatever you look at it, it says the same thing. Then that's how you judge if you're participating in an organization or not. So the religious organizations, a lot of them are pharisaical, like they were with Jesus, because they were upset with him that he claimed to be the Son of God. Because he said, you're talking as though God is your father. He goes, duh. So we have to talk that way because of the scripture says that. What I've noticed is the opposition, and the Lord told me that the opposition in the end times, the betrayal will come among our own. That's what I was told. That won't get me on Sid Roth. But that's the truth, is that the betrayal will come through the Pharisees. Yeah, the religious organizations will turn us in for not complying. And this separation doesn't have to be a shock if you will go ahead and do it now. If you just separate yourself now and you gather among yourselves, if you have a good church, then you should go and you should participate and you should help the church, because that God's will is the church. However, there are times when persecution comes, and the persecution comes for different reasons, but sometimes God uses it because the church is lukewarm and he calls out the ones that are like a remnant. So I discern, this is what I know, and this is what you need to know from now on, is you have to discern that you have a place in the mansion of God. In God's house, there are many rooms. That's what it actually says. So I didn't see my mansion in heaven. And I didn't want to see my mansion in heaven. I didn't ask for it. I didn't see it. Because what I saw in heaven was that I wanted to be in the throne room and I wanted to be with my Father. And so I want to be in my Father's house. I want to live in his house. I want to have a room down the hall from his bedroom. And I want to be able to go out into the kitchen and go into the living room and sit with him. I want to be in his house. I don't want to have, but you can have whatever you want. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the true believers have a Father in heaven. We have an inheritance. We have a hope. We have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that is the hope of our glory. The resurrection is our hope. We've been given a deposit guaranteeing the full payment at one time. We've been given a wedding ring, essentially. We've been betrothed, and he will come for us as a thief in the night. If we are ready for him, then we will go with him. I'm just quoting scripture. I'm just saving you all the research, but that's what Paul taught. Okay, so from now on, you have to discern and separate yourself as being the bride and as being the ones that Jesus prayed for, and knowing that you are involved not as a servant. Jesus said, I call you friends. And a friend knows, Jesus said, knows the Father's, or a child of God knows the Father's business. A servant does not know the intimate details of the business. Jesus said, I call you friends because you are being shared information that has to do with the intimate workings of the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. So to be a friend of God is to be involved with the workings. That means you can go into his office and be part of what he's doing, whereas a servant wouldn't be allowed to do that. That's what Jesus was saying. You have to start to get this mindset. So you can get that by praying these prayers. You have to focus on these things from now on, because you're going to need supernatural provision. You're going to need supernatural guidance. You're going to need supernatural protection. And we have a harvest to glean. We have to bring in the rest of the people that God is going to provide for us to preach to and to pray for and to provide for. This is going to happen. We're going to be supernaturally sustained. So the remnant, the people that separate themselves, will see miracles happen every day in your house. That's what I'm trying to tell you about the manna and about the water, is it will never run dry for you. But it's going to be supernatural. So the Spirit will want to guide you and lead you. He wants you to not be involved with certain things, take different routes at different times, stay away from certain people, stay around certain people. There's all kinds of things that the Spirit wants to speak to us in these last days, but it has to come because the Spirit has access to speak to you, but you have to be careful that you're listening to the right Spirit in these last days. So trust is earned. The only debt that I'm supposed to have is to love everyone. I am the only debt that I'm supposed to have is a debt to love. I'm to owe man nothing except to love him. But trust is earned. And remember, everybody has a choking point, a sellout. And even the disciples, after going to the University of Jesus for 3.5 years, they didn't graduate. They didn't stay with him. They came back. They came to the cross. But remember the people on the road to Emmaus when Jesus was walking with them and hid himself, and he acted as though he was going to go on. He was waiting for them to invite him in, so they invited him in, and he went with them. And he goes, what are you guys talking about? Remember that? And they said, well, where have you been? All Jerusalem knows. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, they killed him. And this is what they said. We thought he might be the Messiah. But the way it's said is though, I guess he's not. Because he's gone. And so he was eating with them and he unveiled himself. And they're like, wow. Didn't our hearts burn within us? Okay, so we can't find ourselves in these last days set like John in jail after he said, behold the Lamb of God. I'm not worthy to tie his sandals. This is the one. I must decrease, he must increase. This is the one I've been talking to, I'm preaching. This is him, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. He's in jail. He sends somebody to ask Jesus, are you the one? You got it?
Yeah.
You catching what I'm saying? This is what we have to guard against in the last days. So the spirit of revelation causes us to stay hot and aware of what's going on. And to know, listen, when somebody comes up and says something I already know, the Lord's like saying, don't listen to them. That's not right. I go, well, thank you. And this happens all the time. I got a word for you. I got a word for you. The Spirit will start to tell you, okay, that's not right, that's right, that's cool. And you're not going to do this. I get opportunities like, no, you're not going to do that. I'm like, okay, wow, that was good, but all right. The Lord's going to say to you, listen, you need to make a garden. You need to have another water source. Or you need to stop watching the news, you know. You need to make news. You know, you need to like start producing good events. You start to make history. So the Spirit wants to work with us in these last days, but I don't feel like I'm supposed to baby people anymore. If you notice for the 7 years, I'm really not babying people at all. I'm talking to you because I'm talking you up, but I'm being a little, you know, I'm a little stern about it, and I'm not bending because I know what level we have to be at to be able to receive the Lord when he comes back as the bride. We have to be without spot and wrinkle. And so if I back off, because I'm accountable, and my staff knows this, but Jesus appeared to me last week, and he said, I'm telling you, you got to address this, and this, and if you don't, you will have to stand before me and give an account for what you did to Warrior Nose, because he said, you got to take a stand right now. He said, I want this taken care of, I want this or this, or else. That was just last week. I told Kathy, I got to address this. Because I'm accountable. And so I have to make sure that everything is exactly so that you in your mind, you totally understand where I stand about stuff. So I am going to tell you things because that's the way it is in heaven and that's the way it's supposed to be on the earth. But people are going to do what they want to do. However, if I warn people and tell them the truth, then I will stand before the Lord and I have done my part. If not, it misrepresents. If people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, I have to say something. Okay? So one of the things that I'm telling you that I'm dealing with is people dropping hints that they have needs. That's not faith. And I don't want any student doing that. And it's happening. And there's a lot of money being given to these people because they're dropping hints. That is not how a soldier works. I mean, if you want me to drop the hints of what I need for this ministry, it's a lot of zeros and commas. But I don't do that. I say, please don't give. That's not faith. That's not maturity. You should present your needs to God and then let God move on people. Okay, so I have to address these things. The reason why is that if I let certain things happen, then everybody sees that they're doing that, and then everybody starts doing it. The other thing is that I'm kind of concerned at the lateness of where we're at, because people aren't discerning this. And a lot of your prophet friends aren't discerning this. They're not discerning exactly where we're at. At this point, we're supposed to be getting together and working together instead of competing for all you all. And so 37,000 students, I think I've recorded almost 170 courses myself. I'd like some of these ministers to help me out. Why do they have to start a school? I don't know. We have a school. I need people to teach so I can actually spend some time with my wife. Okay, so I have to pray in tongues, pray myself out of my mind until I'm crazy, run to the headquarters and film totally out of my mind and in the spirit so that you all benefit for it for years. Okay, but at this point, I'm not sure that people discern that we're all supposed to be working together and I shouldn't have to be doing all this. But at the same time, I also wouldn't want to have somebody coming in at a certain level that was below what we're at as a ministry. So I have to train people to get up to a certain point so that it's the same, it's congruent, so that no matter what course you pick, it's going to be good, but it's going to be the level. I understand that not every one of you has gone to heaven, but it's not just because I went to heaven, it's because I'm obedient. And all of us can be obedient, and all of us can tap into this. It's just we've been told that it's only certain people. It would have just taken me longer to get to where I'm at if I hadn't gone to heaven. But so I cheated. Okay, I admit to that. But I'm not giving it back. I'm not giving the answer sheet I stole from heaven back. I brought back the answers. And so I'm going to impart that. But I'm telling you this because I think at the time that we're at, I don't think people are really discerning how close we are and how important it is to put the brakes on the devil right now and to slow the whole thing down and let all these people just go into eternity wherever they choose to go. Just let them go, because I want a clean house. No, I know this because I'm telling you this because I watch this. I check out all the Christians, all the ministers, all the generals, all of the intercessors, and I see how they die early. But yet, these evil people live to their 90s and 100. The bill of health. They don't get the disease of the week. And yet intercessors and Christians, they die early of cancer and all kinds of diseases. And these people, they have 47 years in Congress. And they haven't done anything in 47 years, but they blame it on one president that actually does something. You get it? Okay, so do you see this or is it just me? Okay, so you see the injustice here that Satan is favoring his own, but he's trying to knock off Christians. And so what I'm really seeing is the Spirit of God has to come in a strong way and ignite us so that we see these kind of things and we realize that we might not want to use the same toothpaste we're using anymore. And we might not want to be eating the 1 cent burgers. You might not want Bacos because there's no bacon in them. You might not want macaroni and cheese because there's no cheese in them. That's some sort of mysterious little sauce thing that's moving around under a microscope. It's like a whole village in there of suffering. I'm serious. They're like bumping in each other. It's like bumper cars. I'm like, man, this is... And why is it you can eat a box of macaroni and cheese and gain 10 pounds when the box only weighs like a quarter of a pound? Why is it you eat a quarter pounder and you gain 3 pounds? It's a quarter pounder. I mean, at least you should just like be able to go across the board and gain a quarter of a pound. Okay, so what's going on? You see, it's unjust balances. It's Satan's kingdom. So everything I try to tell you in Coffee Talk, I tried not to blow the whistle too much, but what I'm trying to show you is that if the Spirit of God is allowed to be in your life and talk to you, then he's going to take you further than you can go on your own. But you're going to have to be disciplined to stay in there, to stay in the unity, to stay in the love, and to stay in the glory. Because that's your track. Okay? So the miracles happen on your way, doing your life. You just do your life. You're faithful. You show up for work early. I showed up for work an hour early, didn't get paid for it. I went to my airplane. I made sure it was clean. I made sure everything was operating. I prayed over every seat for an hour. I had to get up at 2:30 a.m. every morning, me and my wife. I had to be on the road by 3:30 to check in by 4:30. And I didn't take off until, you know, past 5:30 or 6. After we landed and we're done, I stayed and made sure I cleaned anyway, even though the cleaners clean at night. If there was an unaccompanied minor, a child, I'd sit and wait for him until his parents came. And I'd tell his parents, next time, you know, be on time. This is your child, you know. But there are times where we would take the child with us to the hotel because they never showed up. And I'm not leaving them at the airport because the airport's closed and the TSA is like ready to bail anyway. Well, you can't get to the gate, so I'm not going to leave somebody there. So we just left a contact information with whoever, and then we took them and they got the best meal and the best everything, you know. And finally the parents showed up, you know. Okay, I did all of that because I wanted to be excellent. And so everything that we did was above and beyond. And I always got my raises. I got awards. I was always considered a good employee. So when I left and I came and I started Warrior Notes, the same standards that were ingrained in me about work ethic and about honesty and accountability, it's just part of me. And I believe that you should dress as an ambassador, you should talk like one, and you should tell the truth like one, and you shouldn't lie, and you should own up if instead of lying, you know. And what I found is that there wasn't this integrity that crossed over from the worldly corporations that I worked for. It didn't cross over into ministry. I guess it's okay to lie. It's not. And I guess, like if I'm getting paid a certain amount, I'm going to work a certain amount. And if I'm not, I got to let my supervisor know. Because they're not going to pay me just to sit home. When they would overpay me, I would call them and say, "You overpaid me." And they say, "Well, we'll just take it out of your next check. Thanks." They wouldn't say, "Keep it." So when I'd go to Home Depot, decided to do everything myself, big mistake, but they knew me by first name. I practically worked there. But I started redoing my house, doing the floors, doing this and that. And I would get home and have a whole vehicle full of everything, equipment. And I'm like looking at the receipt. And I'm like, man, this is like $1,000 worth of stuff. So unless I got a big discount, something's wrong. So I saw that they had not like put stuff on the bill and not scanned it. So I went right back. I called the man. I talked to the manager and said, "Hey, listen, just so you know, I'm just one of these honest people, and I don't want to mess you up." But I said, "You know, there's like $400 that you didn't charge me for." And the guy couldn't believe it. He goes, "You know what? Just keep it." But see, now I'm released because now it's given to me. I didn't take it. Okay, so you have to realize that God requires you to advertise him this way. I became a witness. I started talking to the guy. I says, well, you know, I died and went to heaven and came back. He goes, just keep the ladder. Just get out of here, you know. Died, went to heaven. It's okay, you know. Well, I said, he changed my life. And the guy's like so touched. Like, he's like, nobody does it. He told me, he says, nobody does this. So this is what I was reading about, how we're God's advertisement. So I'm done. Oh, Mia, you've been chosen. Come on down. Jamie, you're next. No, listen to me. You got to be fully convinced. You've got to be fully convinced from the days coming forward. Let the transformation happen. There's transformation in this room. Be bold about your faith, but be bold, but stay humble. Amen? Yes. Okay, Mia.